Good morning, everyone. It's Mary Lou Tyler. This week, I have an extremely fun guest. The reason it's fun is because Eric Lors is known as the Bruce Lee of revenue generation. How is that for a title? And he's the world's only neuro revenue strategist. So just that combination is a mouthful, but it's also really important to us because he really has that master practitioner status of NLP. And I'll let him talk about NLP and what that's all about. But it's a very important topic in the work that we do, especially since we're into persuasion. We're trying to get people to open their hearts, their doors, their offices to us to come in and have conversation. So Eric is also the creator of Revenue Mind. He is a best-selling author of Be, Do, Sale. And he's got a number of other works that I won't steal all of his thunder. I'll let him talk about. But he works with clients to rapidly scale their revenue by using what he terms as the path of least resistance. Fox Business News, Selling Power. He's been featured in Forbes, Entrepreneur. He's everywhere. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you all to Eric Lors. Eric, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Thank you for having me on.
So let's tackle that first title. How the heck did you come to be known as the Bruce Lee of revenue generation?
Just like Bruce Lee, it was a progression. So I've studied martial arts for a couple of decades, and Bruce Lee is one of my idols. And I really like how he approached martial arts because his entire construct was use what's useful, discard what's useless. So he was constantly evolving. You know, if you actually researched, you know, his martial arts history, he went from studying Wing Chun, then he came to America. He studied boxing. He studied wrestling. He was, he changed the names over the course of time of his system over and over again to fit with what he was doing. He was constantly into evolution. And so I've kind of taken that construct myself in what I do in terms of the business world. The way that the moniker got, so I could say, you know, it just happened that way. But what actually happened was I used to have an entire wall filled this wall up with like quotes from him, right? So, you know, because you're an avid fan or whatever. And I was coaching a client, and I want to say this is 7 some odd years ago, maybe. I was coaching a client and really quoting a lot of Bruce's quotes to him, and they were all germane for that day, and giving him a new perspective on what was going on with his business and helping him change what he was doing and seeing, et cetera. And I kept quoting and quoting, and at one point he just stopped and he said, "You know, you're like a Bruce Lee of sales." And I heard that and I was like, "Wow!" I said, "That's awesome." Then I sat on, and so I wrote that down, obviously. And then I sat on that title for a year. I was terrified because I said, that's big boy stuff. You know, you go out there and you say that, you know, you got to have everything to back that up. And it was like, you know, that's a mantle that if you're going to take it on, that's a big mantle to take on. After a year, I finally said, okay, you know, I got to go. This is me. This is what I do, et cetera. So I put that name out there. Instantly, everything started changing. I got to say that was kind of the thing that started opening up the floodgates was people were like, I got to connect with the Bruce Lee of sales. This sounds awesome. And, you know, like all of a sudden I started getting attention from everybody. So I was doing guru selling. That was the original thing that I was doing years ago. As I evolved, I started studying lead generation. And at some point I was applying Bruce Lee stuff to that. So it kind of morphed into the Bruce Lee of sales and lead generation, which people knew me for a long time. And then I started studying positioning. And so I was like, okay, well, now it's the Bruce Lee of sales and lead generation and positioning. I said, okay, this is getting too freaking long. What am I going to get in here? You know, sales coaching and lead generation copywriting and whatever. I could go freaking nuts. So I said, okay, what am I really playing with here? What am I really doing? If I kind of chunk up a bit and look at this, what am I really playing with here? And I said, you know, this is really the revenue generation, the revenue generation funnel for the company, of generating revenue for them. And so, you know, that's where it came from was, you know, at the end of the day, it was like the Bruce Lee of revenue generation, because that's really the entire structure that I play with. So long-winded explanation about how my title started as one thing, just like Bruce started as one thing and evolved over time into something else. So I kind of find it funny that my title evolved just like Bruce himself did.
Well, and especially you hit a number of different points and top of funnel, which is where my audience lives for the most part. It touches so many things. I heard you say copywriting. I heard you say persuasive techniques. I heard you say that you're doing selling, you're doing sales creation. I mean, it touches so many different skill sets that it's no wonder you've evolved to revenue generation. And that is a perfect title because we are responsible for generating revenue for our companies, our businesses, if we're solos out there. And I love that connection with the Bruce Lee path to discovery is paralleled with yours. That's awesome.
He was the man.
He was the man. So can we talk right into NLP or do you want us to slowly get there? I'm really interested in how you've applied this. And the reason being is because when in my brain, we're dealing with prospects who run the spectrum from an unaware state to fully aware of our product and services. But we also have to put this element of compelling content and persuasive language into our conversations in order to get people to lean in and say, okay, I will take my precious time and give 5 minutes of it to you. So how did you get into the NLP side of things and what was that path like and how are you using it now in teaching sales executives to further their conversations so that they can generate more revenue?
Well, NLP, I kind of stumbled into NLP because I was interested in psychology, but that came through personal development. So I was years ago, we're going back 20 years. I got my first tape set or whatever from Tony Robbins. And yeah, I think everybody back in the mid 90s.
Yeah, we all did.
Yes. Everybody, you look at your bookshelf and, you know,
Awaken the Giant Within, right?
And Personal Power too. I'm sure they're sitting right up there, you know, the tape version, not the CD version, you know, old school. So I got into him and he had studied NLP. That's obviously I'm not going to go into his story, but he had studied NLP and I started to hear about it from what he was doing and then other people. And as I got into personal development myself and then coaching other people, et cetera, it was something that I was interested in. So I started, I actually started studying from one of my coaches, and he was, I guess, kind of famous in the NLP world, at least with the big guys, because he talked, John Laval is one of the big guys in NLP. He's Richard Bandler's partner. Richard Bandler was John Grinder were the guys who created NLP. And now John Laval is one of Richard's partners. And my coach, my trainer had kind of talked him into a corner one day using NLP. And at which point John Laval said, hey, look, if you can wrap me around using NLP, NLP. You know, I teach this stuff and you've talked me into a corner. So he's like, I got to give you, he basically just handed him all of his certifications and said, I'm giving them all to you because you've bested me in what is supposed to be my forte. So, my coach really didn't, he had no desire to teach NLP, but as we worked together, he said, okay, I'm going to teach it to you and only you. I'm going to teach it different than other people teach it. So you can apply it different than other people apply it. Because mostly if you study NLP, it's taught as kind of as cognitive behavioral therapy. It was developed basically to help people in place of like psychotherapy, et cetera. And you can do that. Obviously, that was what it was created for. What we did is we tweaked it for sales and for business development, et cetera. And so as he was teaching me, we were building my company, and he was teaching me, and it was integrated. And so there are guys who do NLP who are, they're like the textbook guys. They can spot, a language pattern or something and do an automatic response to things. And they're what's known as conscious competent, right? They're the ones who are like, he's using that language pattern and my response would be X, Y, Z. That's great. And I can do that if I have the textbook open in front of me. I can be like, oh yeah, okay, I can see that. My trainer, he taught me to be unconscious competent, because he's like, I don't really care if you're a nerd who can quote the book verbatim. I just care that you can use this stuff in the real world.
Apply it, right.
Right. That's all he wanted. He's like, I want you to be able to apply this stuff. So what happens is I'll go out and I'll do it, but I'm unconscious competent. So I'm doing it. I just don't realize I'm doing it. And so a lot of times early on, especially, I would say, I just don't think I'm getting it. I just don't think I'm doing it. So he'd be like, okay, well, I would always record my coaching sessions or whatever. It's like, let's play some of your stuff. Let me listen to it. And he would be like showing me, okay, you're mixing, you're using this language pattern and you're countering them with this. You're doing, I was like, wow. Okay. So, even though I've been given the designation of master practitioner, I do it completely unconsciously. Like I said, if you put the textbook in front of me and I open it up, it's like, oh, okay, I can teach it. I can walk through the textbook with people, but I'm not the guy who's on stage teaching you step by step by step. I'm just the guy who's like, I want to be able to do it. I don't really care about being able to quote it.
And does the knowledge of NLP in your unconscious conscious state, is that what spawned NeuroRevenue, or are the two not even related?
Oh, well, they're all related. So, all of the things that I've done since learning NLP have spun from that understanding. And, I've brought in a lot of other understandings. I studied, quantum physics, law of attraction, and not that I go full left field tangent. I mean, obviously I look at metric, I look at metrics and, I do real world and energy world at the same time, because, I think both are valid. So, it has grown from that. Revenue Mind really is, at this point, Revenue Mind is what I call the path of least resistance. So, if we look at how people communicate, or if we look at how people try to sell stuff, most of it is done at a conscious level, which means let's take it from the top, right? So ultimately what we've got is we want to change somebody's behavior from not buy to buy. So you have a person, you want them to buy. It could be a stick of gum. It could be a $5 million computer system. Whatever it is, you want to switch them from not buy to buy. It's a behavioral change. So the question is, how best to create that behavioral change? Most people use the path of least or of most resistance, which is they come to market with something that, they say, oh, our thing is different. Our product or our service is different. But it's not different. They say it's different because of quality or service or experience, which none of these things makes it any different. Or it's red instead of blue, or made in America instead of Japan, whatever, meaningless differences. So automatically they're not differentiated from the competition. So the marketplace sees them as the same. So they say, okay, we're not making any emotional impact. We're not changing the feeling of this person from not buy to buy by having a differentiation. So what do we got to do? Well, if our position is crap, excuse my French, then we do lead generation. So we're going to go and we're going to do our lead generation, and we're going to look at the marketing what are we going to do? We're going to look at our competitors. We're going to look at what they're doing, and we're going to copy them. So we say, hey, these guys are making a lot of money, or at least we assume they're making a lot of money. So we're going to copy how they do their messaging, what they say in their messaging, how they approach people with their messaging. And so we've copied our competitors, and we, you know, and as I say, they post, they pay, and they pray that this will have an effect, and it really doesn't. So you have no difference, and your messages are meaningless, but you still want to create that sale. So now we get to the down to the level of the sale itself. So now we have to depend on either having like salespeople who just hammer and keep contacting, or are able to, I don't know, manipulate people into buying things, or we have, like, if we're doing an automated system, you know, we have 20 emails that are just going to keep hitting this person over and over and over again. So it's kind of like trying to beat the person into submission to say yes. So even if the person buys, they're not buying happy. They're just, you know, they kind of succumb to the pressure. Does that make sense?
Totally. Okay. You are definitely ringing a lot of bells here.
Right. You know, and that's why it's like, it's grunt work, you know, et cetera. It's a, you know, it's a numbers game. It's, you know, you got to follow up, all that, you know, hoorah garbage. So it's all about how you get there. So if you're trying to change that person from not buy to buy, it's all about how you get there. It's about using leverage effectively. So what's stopping, the thing that stands in the way mostly is the conscious mind of the prospect themselves. Because consciously, if you have no differentiation, then consciously they say, okay, you're no different. If your messages sound the same as everybody else, consciously they say, you're white noise. You sound like everybody else. So you just blend in, you're ignored. Consciously, you come to me and say, I have this product or service. Here's the features and benefits. Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it now? Do you want it in brown? Do you want it in red? You know, et cetera. So it's all conscious. It's all a conscious push. But the conscious mind, number one, it's only 1% of how humans work, because humans function 99% subconsciously. So trying to go at the conscious mind is a virtual waste of time. But even, and when you're trying to talk conscious and logic to people, the subconscious just shuts that stuff right down, because it goes, oh, this looks the same, this sounds the same, this is the same, da 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 da, and the filters just keep, they just keep putting up wall after wall after wall. That's why you have to keep pounding and pounding and pounding. So if you want a path of least resistance, it's like, how do I build a path that is least resistant to me? Well, I got to go around the conscious mind. Well, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. Well, three, you know, and I look at it at three levels again: positioning, lead generation, and then the sales process. So if I create a position in the marketplace, if I position my company as being the only one of a kind that it, of doing what it does, automatically it's differentiated. And if I do it, and if I make it, you know, and if I put it everywhere, I want to be that company where people say, "Hey, you're, you know, I've seen you everywhere. You're everywhere these days. You know, I don't know how, but you're everywhere." You know, so peerless and pervasive. So if you have this peerless position, already you're in a power, you're coming from a powerful place, as opposed to I'm the same as everybody else, or I have no difference. Now, when I'm going to start contacting people, reaching out, doing, you know, instead of doing marketing, which, you know, wastes of money, I'm going to do lead generation. I'm really going to talk to this person. I'm going to try and make connection to them, this human being. But instead of trying to say, here's my product or service with features and benefits, I'm going to talk to their subconscious. How is the subconscious communicating with itself about a problem that it wants to solve? And I want to get in on that conversation. I want to use those language patterns, because when the subconscious starts to hear the way it talks to itself outside of itself, mm-hmm. it has no ability to ignore it. It can't ignore it, because it's going, wait a minute, only I say that, or only I feel that, or only I think that, what, wait a minute, what? And it has to start paying attention to you. And now all of a sudden it starts paying attention to you, and you have this position where you're one of a kind, like, whoa, okay, I'm listening to you. I'm overwhelmed by how amazing you are, or how different you are. So we're, you know, we're really leveraging that communication, that connection, so that by the time we start talking about a sale, as opposed to, okay, now I got to start gearing up to make the pitch and blah, 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 the sale should just basically be a foregone conclusion. So you're, you know, so it's almost like I, you know, instead of saying, do you want this? It's, you have the person saying, I want this. How do I get it? how do I buy this, or how do we work together? Would it, you know, and it becomes a foregone conclusion simply from the flow of communication. So either you take the path of most resistance, which is how everybody does it, or you take the path of least resistance. You get to the same outcome, but one gets you there faster with a lot less expense because you don't have to keep posting, paying, and praying, and it makes you a lot happier and allows you to scale faster and get a lot more good referrals.
So, okay, everybody, I could hear the collective ears like, what, how do I do this? What do I do? Where do I sign? What do I do? How do I create these messages that you're talking about? So tell us a little
bit
about...
Isn't it amazing how what I do, like I said, I'm unconscious competent. I do this. This is me.
Well, my troops are all, we love technology. We leverage technology. But if we can leverage technology in a way that's authentically pleasing to our prospects so that they are clamoring to have a conversation with us to sign the bottom line, boy, wouldn't life be great. And wouldn't stress be lowered. But where do you begin, Eric? Where do you start to get to even a level? I'm not even mastery, just kind of like conscious of how to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it all depends on how hardcore you want to go. So like when I'm going to work with a client, I look at it and this is a radical approach and it affects all levels of a company if you do it right. Mm-hmm. See, there's ways to do bits and pieces of it. You know, you could say, all right, well, you know, I'm going to become slightly more effective at my lead generation. And you can, and it'll have a certain amount of increase. Mm-hmm. You say, okay, you know what? I'm going to actually develop a position for my company. Cause most people don't ever sit down and say, you know, what is the positioning of my company? You know, they just position by default. They say, we sell this widget.
Right.
And that's it. That's their positioning. And positioning is really something that I've broken it down into 12 different elements that, you know, you can actually apply. So you could start all the way from the top. Actually, even before positioning, there's what I call the three W's, the who, what, and why of your company. So if you want to go full tilt boogie and get the full leverage of this, you know, you have to start from the beginning. And that beginning is really you and your company. And who are you? What do you sell or what do you really do and why do you do it? And then there's a number of different versions of the who, what, and why question that I ask, you know, kind of put people through the ringer for their company. But if you really want to get it from the top down, that's where you start because, you know, if you look at your business as we're just here to make money, you're automatically a Me Too business. There is no business where you say our driving force is to make money where you have an original anything. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, because if you went into business to make money, that was your drive. You know, that is your reason. That's your mission statement. That's your purpose. That's your everything. And so there's plenty of, the world is filled with companies whose only mission is to make money. How much more money can we make? And that's fine. But those companies are the ones who are going to spend gobs of cash on marketing, et cetera, because they're just out there, you know, pushing the, you know, pushing messaging, pushing content creation and white papers or whatever the hell it is that they're using, videos, et cetera. So you can go, you know, you could just do that, or you could say, look, I want to have a business that's fun, that I enjoy, and that scales itself because it's really working outside the conscious mind. It's not meeting that resistance. But to do that, first, we have to really know who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it. Then, if I know that, then creating the position becomes a hell of a lot easier because I'm not just trying to make crap up. It's flowing from our purpose. Mm-hmm. And then if you've got a really powerful set of positions, then lead gen becomes even easier, right? Because the messaging just basically starts taking care of itself. So that by the time, again, you're leveraging onto that individual human being, they're being overwhelmed by, you know, your alignment with your core values of yourself, your business, et cetera, your position in the marketplace that makes you one of a kind, your messaging that's speaking directly to their subconscious needs, you know, so they're being overwhelmed. But if you want to start, you know, you could just say, look, let's look a little bit at the messaging. You know, are we talking right now? I mean, if you really want to just start at the basic level, you know, is my messaging, is my lead gen, or even my sales process, let's start with the sales process. Am I pushing people? You know, am I hounding people to get a sale? If I'm hounding people to get a sale, that means I'm using that path of most resistance. So how can I start drawing people out? So, you know, you don't draw people out by, you know, showing up at their office door and saying, hey, you got 5 minutes? You know, you draw them out by putting something in their hand that makes them say, this resonates with me. This is interesting to me. This is something I want to pursue. Right. So how are you doing lead gen? Are you drawing people out? Are you pushing people back into their shell?
Well, I think with the onset of technology, we're all getting lazy and we are doing the not necessarily spray and pray approach, but we are doing the hound. Will you buy from me now? Will you schedule an appointment with me now? Approach without giving any value as to the why. But I also know that there are people listening in on this call who work for larger companies. And when you say, you know, it's got to start at the top, at the position of the company, they're kind of stuck. I mean, they're in companies that have marketing departments and there's messages already coming out from there. But is there a way a business developer sitting in a cubicle in a large company can take some of these principles and apply them to their personalized emails, for example? Or do you really need the ecosystem in order to really affect change?
Well, obviously, if it comes from the top down, like the top down, you're going to have the greatest effect and, you're going to have an avalanche effect, which is beautiful when it happens. And that's where you start getting, companies that are growing at 200-300% a year. But let's just say you're an individual and you're trapped. I always say my first thing is, make sure it's the job you want. Then if you're trapped, and, if you feel like you can't, express yourself fully, maybe you should look for something else. But let's just say you're in that situation. At that point, you have to say, okay, let me do this for myself then. Because I've had salespeople who changed what they called themselves. They had been a sales representative and they changed, their title to something else, because that allowed them to start embedding their mission or their positioning into what they did. Mm-hmm. So why do you sell what you sell? Because if you sit there and you say, well, I'm sitting here and I'm selling because I want to make money, then guess what? You're exactly the same as the company that says our only purpose is to make money.
Right.
So do you truly love what you sell? Do you think it's really valuable? If you don't, again, go back to square one, which is find job selling something you do really believe in. If you really do believe in it, why do you believe in it? How do you believe that it brings value to people? How do you think people are missing that value? How do you think that you're not connecting with the needs or the wants or the problems that it solves? So we'll start looking at, again, you can put yourself through it. Who are you in this company? What are you doing? Why do you do it? And then looking at your position, what do you call yourself? If you're, I'm Eastern Regional Sales Rep for toiletries. Okay. But if you love the toiletries, then, maybe you want to change what you call yourself to, the James Bond of toiletry something, I always get my man, the Canadian Mountie of toiletries. We always get our man. We always get you clean, you can play with it as much as you can. Now, again, being in a corporation, there's only so far, some Correct. Companies will allow you to play with what you call yourself. Some won't, but you want to say how much can I play with my messaging and really talk to the person? How much can I play with my position and really change the perception of who I am, at least when I'm contacting these people? So you can play, you just have to, but if you have boundaries, you have to say, okay, I'm playing inside these boundaries. And then don't be afraid to push the boundaries. Don't be afraid to go to corporate, to your boss's boss and say, look, I want to change I want to use more messaging, or I want to change these messages because they're not as effective as I think they could be. Very rarely is somebody in a position where they'll say, I don't want to listen to any idea that might make us more money. I've seen it and it's painful, but it's rare. Most people will at least give you an ear. And if you make a valid point, right, you can do it.
So given the fact that we're entrenched in this, are we a fit, and making sure that we're working with the right people, what kinds of companies or people do you work with, Eric, and how would you go about, or how do you go about working with them?
Well, good question. Thank you. I work with a small amount of companies because when I'm doing this stuff, it's kind of intensive. So I like to work hand in hand with companies. So what I'm always looking for first is the company that, you know, that's a smaller company. It's not, you know, I mean, I've worked with huge corporations. I've worked with the Microsofts, et cetera, out there. But smaller companies, mid-sized companies, smaller companies, they're more flexible. They're more able to change. And I'm looking for the people who drive revenue, you know, the at the executive level, who drive revenue in the companies, you know, CEO, CRO, et cetera, CMO, CSO, because they're the ones who can affect that sort of avalanche thing going down the company. And I look for people who are daring and bold, because if you get in there, if you say, look, we really want to escalate revenue and, you know, we're doing 15% a year, rah, rah, and everything else like that, but we're looking for, I mean, we're looking for 100%, 200% increase, et cetera. We want to really rip the, you know, the doors off this thing. You're talking about a whole scale change mm-hmm. to the company's mission, the company's purpose, the company's positioning, the company culture. And it's not, you know, it's not an easy thing. Going in and saying, I'm going to do some new copywriting. Yeah, that's simple to get in there. But if you're looking for, you know, really creating that path of least resistance, it's a top-down kind of thing. And so not too many people are willing to do it. And, you know, and you have to have that, you have to have the resources. So, you know, if you're a solopreneur, you can you do it? Yes, but it's, you're not going to be able to make nearly as much change because you're chief cook and bottle washer. But okay. If you have a company that has a marketing department, that has an inside sales department, that has salespeople, that has, the resources for a revenue funnel, then you can make a lot of change a lot faster.
And, you know, the other thing that to point out is a lot of the folks that listen to this podcast are starting off maybe as a startup, and now they're trying to move what we call up market, move into enterprise-based sales, where now all of a sudden, instead of one stakeholder, one buyer, you've got 3 to 5 to 7 to 9, depending on how large a sale and revenue volume you're looking at. So given that this strategy you're talking about is a per persona type of strategy, I can only imagine the amount of work to create messaging and the right messaging for each of the people sitting around the table in their relative position in the pipeline. Because top of funnel, people that we see to get into meetings and to do demos or having those first conversations may not be the same people who are actually affected by the close. Mm-hmm. And so this system of yours, you know, how do these, the books, the Revenue Mind, the Guru Selling System, Be, Do, and Sale, are those good starting points for someone who is really loving what they're hearing today, but can't necessarily change the world overnight? But as you mentioned before, it's important to be able to create a compelling reason why you want to change your title or why you think the messaging should change. So how do we get to that point where we are confident in our argument that things have to change in order for us to get the revenue we're looking for?
Well, I think it was kind of two questions in there. It sounded like, how do we change ourselves, or how do we set up to sell to a group buying?
Both. Buyers? You know, I think it's kind of like, first and foremost is, I love this idea. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here as a sales exec. I love this idea. I've got to convince my management that we mm-hmm. should try to go down this path, but I think I need to get smarter first. Mm-hmm. So where do I begin?
Ah, okay. So, well, certainly Be, Do, Sale, you could pick it up. It's available on Amazon. It was born out of Guru Selling, which was my first, you know, the first step, as I told you about, it started with Guru Selling about 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a good first step, and it has a flavor of what I was talking about today. But if you really want, you know, if you're looking for a wholesale understanding, I always say, you know, I'm willing to talk to virtually anybody. So you can certainly reach out to me. You can go to the website, which is revenuemind.com, where you can look me up on LinkedIn. I'm pretty much the only Eric Luhrs on LinkedIn, so ERIKLUHRS, or just Google Bruce Lee of Revenue Generation, I think that, or sorry, yep. You know, but that'll pop up on, search that in LinkedIn. That'll pop up too. So contacting me or checking out the website, probably the easiest way to get on board with the whole of what I was talking about today.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing when you think about, probably all of us on this phone call right now, except for you, Eric, are in that camp of, path of most resistance. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten lazier as technology has gotten better. So mm-hmm. we hide behind the hammering effect. I'm not saying all of us do that. And I'm really trying to get us to rise above that. But boy, this whole, people hate the term USP, unique selling proposition. They don't know how to do it. They don't understand it. They don't see why it's necessary. I mean, I've had people write to me because in my book, I asked them to do a SWOT analysis that does 6-factor SWOT. And it's not nearly as comprehensive of what you shared with us about your positioning statement. And I get pushback on that all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. So, what I'm hearing loud and clear is that we have to know why we matter and have to be able to articulate that subconsciously to our buyers. And that's a very tall order, but you've obviously accomplished that with clients. Mm-hmm. So tell us a couple of success stories, if you have time, like who you've worked with. You don't have to name names, but where they were when they met you and then what happened after they started deploying some of your methodology.
Well, sure. So, it's usually deployed in bits and pieces. So one of my favorite stories is a software firm, a specialized software firm. And their software is built on the back of like some IBM structured software systems. So very, very specific, very niche, and in the industry, not sexy, right? But basically what the software does is it helps to secure and handle high volume transactions like bank transactions or airline ticket purchases, a lot of back and forth and everything else like that. So when I started working with them, they said, okay, well, we pretty much get all of our business, the vast majority of our business, by going to this IBM trade show that, IBM has every year. And, we go there and we talk with potential, potential prospects and everything else like that. And we've been going for years. And when we go, we get a lot of people come and fill up the fishbowl trying to win whatever we're giving away. And then we make the phone calls and, nobody even remembers us, let alone what we do, et cetera. Did I win my iPad? No, then I have no further need for you.
This is sounding so familiar. It's scary.
Yeah. So they were like, what can we do to increase the, and also our sales cycle has taken like 36 months here, or even longer. Right. So I sat and I said, okay, well, tell me about this trade show that you've been going to for years. And they were explaining it to me. I said, do you have pictures? And yeah, we took pictures the last couple of years. So they're showing me pictures. And I said, okay, everything's white. And they're like, yeah, well, everybody does, all the booths, their signage in the back is all, it's usually white with either blue or red lettering. And they put the bullet points of, they have the company name and then they have the list of features, benefits, four or five bullet points of why our software is great and wonderful and, what it does. I said, how many rows, how many rows are these trade shows? Three or four. I said, so like 100, 200 booths, all the same color, all basically the same signage. And they're like, yeah, yeah. I said, okay. So, what's happening is all the people in that trade show floor, when they're walking the floor, they're going into a trance. Because when you look at the same color everywhere, the same shapes, the same colors, the same everything, it puts you into a semi-conscious state, you're moving. And so it's passing by you and you're going into trance and you don't even realize you're going into trance. And, the only thing that stops you is you'll see, a thing for an iPad, a contest for an iPad. And so you pull out, and you get used to pulling out the business card, free pen. So they're not even looking at the solutions. They're not even looking at what your thing does or anything. Subconsciously, their brain's like, I can't even handle it. So don't look up, just look down at the table and see what you can get as a freebie. So that sucks. Mm-hmm. Because they're trained now to look down, to not even look at the solution. So I said, okay, we're going to, so the first thing we have to do is you have to break the trance. So you're going to, your booth is going to be black. You're going to be the missing tooth.
I love it.
And so they were like, eh? And I said, and instead of putting up a list of 4 or 5 bullet points of the features or benefits that your software supplies, I said, you know, I want to talk to the subconscious mind. I said, so what are the biggest bitches and complaints that you hear from your prospects? How would they describe their problem? And so what we ended up having was, signage on the back was 2 different sides, a man's head on one side and a woman's head on the other, and then a couple of different word bubbles coming out of the heads. And so one of them, it was like, who is the F squiggly line asterisk genius who decided we should use 3 softwares instead of 1? Who's the blankety blank that decided that we should do this? How am I supposed to blankety blank do this when I only have, you know, this much time? So actual thoughts, the actual complaints mm-hmm. that their prospects had. Not a list of features and benefits, but the pains, the concerns, the things they say to themselves.
Right.
Because they don't give a crap about your solution. They can't even see your solution until they realize what it's a solution to. Mm-hmm. So I did that and I said, okay, now here's what's going to happen. You're going to get less people walking in. Oh, and no contest this year. So you're going to get less people walking in because they're going to be scared. They're going to be because they're white, black. Ooh, sticks out like a sore thumb. They're going to get a lot more people looking, but a lot less people walking in.
A lot of looky-loos, yeah.
A lot of looky-loos, but less people walking in. But the people who do walk in are going to be a lot more qualified because they're now going to understand what the hell you're working on. Mm-hmm. So they go, they have it. Of course, what happens? Less people walking in, but the validity of the prospects increased 50%.
Wow.
And they were telling me, I was talking with one of them, she took me out to lunch about a month ago, one of the head salesperson. And she was like, yeah, you know, now all of a sudden the things that used to, you know, these things are closing after 18 months as opposed to 36. Mm. Simply because, you know, we ramrodded the process of getting on the same page. And that's just the application. That's just one application of lead gen in one environment.
Mm-hmm.
That's so incredible. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. Well, I so appreciate you coming on the podcast today. And I want to make sure everyone knows that I'll be putting all your contact information into the show notes area. Mm-hmm. And again, Eric has how many books out there now?
Right now, I mean, for books, the only actual book is the Be Do Sale. I am working on one for Revenue Mind, don't anybody hold your breath just yet because I am kind of busy.
But he did say, though, folks, that he is happy to talk with any of you who really think that what you heard today is something that would add a lot of value to your company. And it is now, we all know this, it's all about the white noise out there and how do we get through? And we're constantly looking for ways to be able to communicate with our prospects in a way that they notice us. And, you know, Eric has the key to that. So I hope that you all visit his site, study what he's doing, reach out to him. And then from there, you know, the sky's the limit, it sounds like, on how much revenue you guys can bring into your company. Eric, thank you so much for your time. I very much appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Mary Lou.